Welcome to the program God in Country, a program where we look at current events in the light of Scripture. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, speaking to you from Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The Bible has the answers to all of the problems facing the world. Psalm 119:24, God's testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Today's program is a critique of the 5,000-year leap. You ask, what is the 5,000-year leap? That's what I asked when I was invited to a 5,000-year leap discussion group at a local library. It is a book about the principles behind the founding of America. It was written in 1981 by a Mormon constitutional historian named Cleon Skousen. The book lists 28 great ideas of our founders that changed the world, such as the only basis for sound government is natural law. A free people cannot survive under a republic unless they are morally strong. We are dependent upon God for our natural rights. All men are created equal. And these were the ideals of our founders that worked their way into our founding documents. The title, The 5,000-Year Leap, is a reference to the premise of the book that our system of government catapulted mankind ahead in achievement. America, having only 5% of the world's population, has created more wealth than all the rest of the world combined. And because of America, the world has advanced in all areas of business, education, science, and medicine. And the premise of the book is that the principles of our founders, embodied in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, were the ingredients of the American success story. The popular commentator, Glenn Beck, promoted the 5,000-year leap on his show, and it shot to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Apparently, Mr. Beck encouraged his audience to form groups to read and study this book. There is an organization called The Forgotten Man, which promotes and organizes these 5,000-year leap book clubs. And I was being invited to one of these clubs. Naturally, it caught my interest. Whenever I hear someone say the Constitution was the greatest document ever written, or that we have the best government known to man, or that our founding fathers were geniuses, or that if we get back to following the Constitution, everything will be good again, warning bells go off in my head. There is a vain boast and a vain confidence in the founders of our country and the Constitution that must be corrected. Many Christians, not knowing what was really going on in 1790 when the Constitution was formed, can get caught up in this over-the-top, right-wing, neoconservative belief in the perfections of the Constitution and of our founding fathers. Now, there is also a lie coming from the liberal left, denigrating our founders and the Constitution. There is a ditch on both sides of the road. The ditch on the right is that the Constitution is the perfect document. The ditch on the left is that the Constitution is antiquated. The knowledgeable Christian doesn't find himself in either camp. This book, The 5,000-Year Leap, is the ditch on the right. It attributes too much credit to the Constitution and our founders as being the instruments responsible for leaping humanity forward into a new age of prosperity and freedom. And this is what I'd like to critique today. Conservative books such as The 5,000-Year Leap become very popular, but the Christian community must be informed and warned. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There is a large group of conservative-minded ideologues that are teaching a false gospel in our day. They sound very moral and very traditional and American, but it's a morality without Christ. It is the conservative philosophy of individualism and personal freedom, but its foundation is built not upon the rock, the Word of God in Christ, but upon the sands of rationalism. And Jesus said that the house built upon sand will fall, and great will be its fall. A few truths to keep in mind. Number one, I am not saying books such as The 5,000-Year Leap are completely erroneous. Remember, in order to sell false teaching, the devil mixes 90% truth with 10% error. So just because a body of teaching contains some truth, that doesn't mean we should embrace it. Second, remember that the Pharisees were conservatives. They believed in national morality and conservative principles, but Jesus Christ condemned them as hypocrites, blind leaders of the blind, Jesus said, when they make a convert to conservative Pharisaical morality, they make him twofold more a child of hell. Conservative morality is not the answer. I have spoken with many Christians who have been caught up in the neoconservative movement, and most of them have taken a step away from it because something doesn't smell right. Yes, we want moral laws in our land, but something doesn't seem right in the political rantings of these leaders in the conservative movement. And something is not right. They are not offering the true biblical solution found in Jesus Christ. Now, in his book, Skousen praises the founders of our country, Jefferson, Madison, Adams, Hamilton, and the philosophers that they followed, Locke, Montesquieu, Adam Smith, Cicero. Let's take a look at Thomas Jefferson, who is considered the author of the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration is considered the creed of America, containing the doctrine of rights, resistance, and self-evident truth. Jefferson believed in a God, but not the God of the Bible. He was a Unitarian. In a letter to John Adams, Jefferson wrote, and I quote, that he hoped that the dawn of reason and freedom of thought in these United States will do away with the myth that Jesus was born of a virgin and that he was God in human flesh. Jefferson believed in a God of his own reason, not the God of the Bible. James Madison, who was the chief architect of the Constitution, wrote in one letter that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is mindless jargon. Now, as a political theorist, Madison believed that the government needs checks and balances to protect against tyranny. But will checks and balances make a people righteous? Without a full implementation of Christian truth, checks and balances can actually strengthen immoral legislation. Jefferson believed all men were created equal, but apart from other Christian doctrine, that statement is meaningless. Our founding fathers were all products of the secular movement in the 1700s called the Enlightenment. In the 15th and 16th centuries, the throwing off of the authority of the Roman Catholic Church had two branches. First, the religious reformation, where the traditions of the Roman Church were replaced with the Bible being the sole authority. The other branch was the secular Enlightenment, where the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church were replaced with human reason as being the sole authority. Many in the Enlightenment did believe in a supreme being. But absent was a belief in all of those doctrines offensive to the world: the authority of the Bible, the deity of Jesus Christ, the depravity of man, salvation by the cross. Rather than appealing to the Bible as a source of truth, the leaders of the Enlightenment spoke about natural law and self-evident truth. Yes, they said there was a God, but the truth about how to live must be deduced by human reason. And this watered-down version of Christianity is often called the American Civil Religion. And it was this religion that our founders believed in and appealed to. But the true doctrines of Christianity that were omitted were not insignificant omissions. These omitted doctrines were the heart and soul of Christian virtue, without which you are left with a religion that is no different from Baal worship or the worship of Roman gods. But for some conservatives today, like Skousen, who do not know the true God, they think the civil religion is all you need, as if God is pleased with the civil religion. Most all of the founders of America, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Franklin, were considered the theological liberals of their day. They were unbelievers as far as the true church was concerned. And they were very much outside the beliefs of the conservative Baptists and Presbyterians of that day. And the true believers in that day were in opposition to the ideology of the Enlightenment. But of course, their voice was not heard. 1 John 3:13, "Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." The civil religion of the 1700s was an offense to Jesus Christ. It was the apostasy of that day. And it's one thing if someone holds to the civil religion in our day, but in the 1700s, to embrace the philosophy of the Enlightenment was to take a bold-faced repudiation of what was being taught in the pulpits, what was being taught in Puritan theology, what was written by the great Reformed theologians. Now, Skousen mentions all of the French and English philosophers read and quoted by our founders. These philosophers were all unbelievers who are looking for some other source of truth apart from the Holy Scriptures. For example, the social contract theories of John Locke are weaved into the Declaration of Independence. John Whitehead, who is the head of the conservative Rutherford Institute, writes this about Locke. Some have questioned the orthodoxy of Locke's Christian beliefs. It is true that Locke did not hold what most would term a distinctly Christian worldview, and he did not realize that the implication of his thinking would eventually secularize certain Christian doctrines. Moreover, those who argue that many of Locke's beliefs led to modern secular rationalism are probably correct. The truth is that all of these philosophers of the Enlightenment that our founders read, Locke, Montesquieu, Smith, they all laid the foundation for modern liberalism. When you determine truth by human reason and disregard the Bible, the first generation adheres to Christian values, but every generation thereafter begins to drift away because the basis for truth is no longer on the right foundation. Now, I'm going to say something that sounds radical, but hear me out. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were not the ingredients of America's success. They were the first injection of lies and poison into Christian America. They were a departure from America being a Christian nation. As an example of people's law, Skousen refers to the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut written in 1639, which was the first constitution in our new land. But it was not the people's law, as Skousen teaches. The beauty of the document was that the people put themselves under the authority of Scripture. It reads as follows, that the purpose for this state is to maintain and preserve the liberty and the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we now profess, as also the discipline of the churches, which according to the truth of the said gospel is now practiced among us. The governor shall have the power to administrate justice according to the laws herein established, and for want thereof, according to the rule of the word of God. Now, 150 years later, in 1790, when the Constitution of the United States was written, the departure from Christianity was well on its way. For the Constitution of 1790, penned by James Madison, excluded all references to Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the Word of God as the basis for our social law. It was all replaced with the Enlightenment's concept of natural law. And if you understand the teaching of natural law and the secular nature of this movement called the Enlightenment, you would appreciate how much the ideology of natural law was a rejection of the Christian faith. Now, we look at this phrase in the Declaration of Independence, which reads, the law of nature and nature's God, and think, wow, how wonderful that these men were acknowledging God. What a great improvement from the atheism of our day. But understand that in this day, this was a great attack on the Christian faith, and it was the first step away from God, leading to the relativistic secularism we have today. When a people abandon God, they don't start by declaring themselves atheists. They start by gradually watering down the definition of God and their belief in the inerrancy of the Bible. So we fast forward 200 years to our generation, and we have the federal court supporting gay marriage by overturning Prop 8 in California. On what basis? It all goes back to Jefferson's principles of the Enlightenment, that we don't need to follow biblical truth, but that truth is self-evident and that all men have inalienable rights, whatever that's supposed to mean. The real Christian truth is that rights, equality, and moral justice and values can only be defined by divine revelation, not natural law and fallen human reason. America's foremost theologian, Jonathan Edwards, addressed the era of the Enlightenment and wrote in 1740 a treatise called The Insufficiency of Reason as a Substitute for the Bible and a treatise called The Medium of Moral Government. Edwards taught that if a nation renounces the necessity of divine revelation, the Bible, in her laws, that nation would soon become more absurd, brutish, and monstrous in her notions and practice than the heathens were before the gospel came among them. Edwards was a prophet. For in that our founders renounced Scripture, That is exactly what America is becoming. Absurd, brutish, and monstrous in our notions and practices. The Constitution of the United States was not the wonderful, godly Christian document some people make it out to be. The seed of America's destruction was being sown at that time. And the right way to view history is to see America as being a Christian country in the 1600s. But by the end of the 1700s, the departure from God's word was well on its way. Fortunately, the ambiguous Constitution written by Madison didn't do much damage because the common law in the states had been based upon Christian moral values. The seminaries, the churches, the universities taught the inerrancy of Scripture. But as we all know, over the next 200 years, these institutions would gradually throw off the authority of the Bible and also embrace human reason. And that's why we are in the mess we are in today. It's not that we've abandoned the Constitution. It's that we've abandoned Christ and the Word of God. One of the major errors found in the 5,000-year leap is crediting America's greatness to the system of government established by our forefathers. I want to point this out because this is a typical error made by secular conservatives. The real truth is that America became great because it was a nation colonized by a people who held to a biblical faith. The nation was composed of a large group of born-again people who would make an impact for generations. Democracy by itself, the vote of the people, gives no moral instruction and provides no moral power. That is why in the 20th century, America has little success in exporting American-style democracy around the world. The key to success was not the system. Success came by the Spirit of God working in the citizenship. And it really didn't matter whether America was a democracy, a republic, an oligarchy, or a monarchy. We would have succeeded under any form of government. Of course, a republic is more helpful for a Christian people, but how much more helpful? And what credit should it get? Look at it this way. It's like a golfer who has a set of cheap clubs. If he's a good golfer, he will win even using a cheap set. I could have a set of clubs worth $10,000, and Tiger Woods has a $150 set he bought from Sports Authority. Tiger Woods would still beat me every time. A good player is more important than good tools. But when Tiger Woods wins, does everyone congratulate and praise his clubs? In the same way, too much credit is given to the American system of government rather than to the Christian people and to the Spirit of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It is the Lord God who gives you the power to make wealth. But as usual, the people of this world credit the wrong thing. They take the glory from God and give it to something else. This is not something new. And we should not be surprised to find historians engaged in the error of crediting America's greatness to the rule by the people, rather than to the moral power granted to the people of God by the Spirit of God. Skousen writes many pages about what he calls the genius of structuring a government with all the power in the people. And that what the founders wanted was to establish a system of people's law. The Constitution begins, "We the people." Or as Abraham Lincoln would say, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But is that God's plan for success? Is the solution to a nation's sins, politically and individually, a system of bottom-up management as opposed to top-down management? The reformers like Calvin, Luther, Wycliffe, Zwingli, Knox would turn over in their graves to hear our founders talk about the solution being found in people's law. Biblically, the perfect government is a people submitting themselves to the law of God as revealed in the Word of God. Democracy is not the answer. Checks and balances is not the answer. Three branches of government is not the answer. Anglo-Saxon common law is not the answer. The answer is not people's law. The answer is God's law. And if the people of this world think that a government by the people is the great discovery and the way to finally make the perfect nation, God will use the future failure of America to show the world otherwise. To show the world that a country built on self-evident truth as determined by man will not succeed. If one wants to identify the cause for America's decline, it would be the abandonment of the Word of God and the founders' embrace of rationalism. if one wants to identify the cause for America's early success, I believe one has to consider the Great Awakening under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. At the end of the 1600s, the Puritan influence was waning. Many newcomers had come to America not for religious freedom, but to get land and wealth. The churches were dead, corruption was rampant. It had been 100 years, 3 generations, since the Puritans. And we know how 100 years can make a big difference. Look at the morals of America in 1910 and now in 2010. But in 1730, under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and many other great Christian leaders, God brought spiritual revival to America. Hundreds of thousands of people were born again. The churches were filled. New Christian colleges and churches were formed across the Northeast. We have never seen anything like this in our day. And the only explanation for it was that God decided to pour out his Spirit to save many in America. This was the cause for America's greatness. The founders of America did not produce the 5,000-year leap. If there was any leap in human progress, it was the work of the Spirit of God in the lives of born-again people. The hope for America is not a mere return to the principles of the Constitution. John Whitehead, who I mentioned earlier, wrote the following in his book called The American Dream. Even if these principles of our founders were restored in modern American culture, things may have changed to such a degree that their application may not bring about the same results as they did in the 18th and 19th century. John Whitehead is correct. The only thing that can save America is not a return to the Constitution, but a return to a belief in the Bible as the authority and a codifying of these beliefs in our national laws, just like in the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. And for this to happen, a spiritual revival must first take place, and the law of God must be written on people's hearts. If God is ever going to turn America around, we must stop crediting our greatness to American democracy and recognize the power of the gospel as the true source of America's success. God said that he is the Lord and he will not give his glory to another. If you want revival, start giving God his proper glory. But sadly, we have many secular conservatives and quasi-religious conservatives going about saying that the answer is the teachings of the founding fathers. John Whitehead, in his book, quotes a song called An American Tune by Paul Simon. We come on a ship they call the Mayflower. We come on a ship that sailed the moon. We come in the age's most uncertain hour and sing an American tune. But it's all right, it's all right. We've lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what went wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what went wrong. What did go wrong? We left God. The seeds of our destruction were planted in 1791 when we decided to move the foundation of human values off of Jesus Christ and his word and build a nation on this ambiguous concept of natural law determined by human reason. It was a sin. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And a word to you personally, regardless of what our nation does, if you want God's salvation, if you want to prosper, you need to personally build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ as revealed in the scriptures. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to this message again on our website, godandcountryradio.org. Email us and share with us your ideas and concerns. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. God and Country Radio is a ministry of Harbor Bible Church off exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. Again, our number is 732-583-9286, godandcountryradio.org. Let's pray. And now, Lord, use this word to educate your people about the honor that belongs to you and your word. May we truly learn the things that make for peace. Amen.